Good afternoon, everybody. Brian Newbert here again from goldenblack.com, live where else but at home. It's a rare collared shirt day here in quarantine, and this is once again our goldenblack.com daily quarantine simulcast. As you know by now, if you're a regular viewer of the show, and I know our fan base is growing exponentially by the day here, this is just a daily little Purdue topic we talk about, put on the internet, put on social media, put on goldenblack.com, put on our podcast platform, our Golden Black Radio podcast platform. And once again, it is brought to you by our sponsors, Purdue Federal Credit Union, filed to Purdue Bookstores, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remaxability Plus. I want to remind everybody, once again, the Sixth Street Dive in Lafayette remains open for carryout orders, as do our longtime friends of the business, Arnie's and Bruno's, who I called Brunies the other day. As well as the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette. We got dinner from the Whitaker Inn last night, and it was outstanding. Caesar salad with chicken for me, fish and chips for my wife and daughter. Everyone enjoyed it very much. So please keep Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette in mind if you want to support local businesses or if you just want some damn good food, which who among us does not like damn good food? Today's topic, a little bit topical. A topical topic, if you will. Purdue got a football verbal commitment yesterday from Tristan Cox, a linebacker from Pulaski County, Kentucky. Just thought I would give you a couple of quick thoughts on him and recruiting in general in light of recent developments. Tristan Cox is basically a 6'4"-ish, probably 240-pound inside linebacker type of body type of player. I know he prides himself on his physicality as a player, sort of between the tackles, but also a pretty good, reputed to be a pretty good overall athlete. Purdue recruited him with one of its sort of outside linebacker edge player roles in mind. I'm not really sure how exactly to term this because we don't know a whole lot necessarily about Purdue's defensive system. Now that they're recruiting too, we certainly don't know any about their terminology. I don't really know what to call these players at this point of the process, but basically Tristan Cox was recruited, to hear him tell it, for a role akin to kind of like a hybrid sort of player where technically he's an outside linebacker, but when Purdue is in a 4-3 front, he will play basically as a defensive end. When they're in a 3-4 front, he will be a stand-up player. So a position, a role that'll have to wear kind of a lot of hats for Purdue as they transition to wanting to do more 3-4 type of stuff. Whether that's going to be what Purdue does exclusively from here on out, I have no idea. It could just be a wrinkle. It could be a situation where they get the right personnel and then they just take it from a series to series, snap to snap basis. You have to have pretty good, pretty versatile personnel to do that. That's kind of the rub with these edge guys, is that you got to be a pretty special guy to be able to do a lot of different things, to be able to be an effective pass rusher, both with your hand in the dirt or standing up, but also be able to drop into coverage and cover some ground and cover some receivers and whatnot. That's a very difficult mix to ideally find. You have to be able to find a pretty high level athlete to do that. Purdue obviously is convinced in Tristan Cox's ability to do so. He was a player clearly they made a significant priority from day one. I remember back in the winter, Jeff Brohm and a bunch of assistant coaches all went down there to watch him lift weights as part of the winter evaluation period. Bob Diaco, when he was hired, went down there to take a look at him too. Purdue made multiple stops. I know Chris Barclay, the running backs coach, who I think was his area recruiter, might have been his area recruiter. Don't quote me on that, even though I'm on video for all of anyone to see. Purdue made a lot of stops down there to see him. That was clearly an indication of priority. Linebacker and whatever, however else you would term these roles Purdue's recruiting for right now, is crucial in this class. Crucial. For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is the fact Purdue doesn't have a lot of linebackers right now. Purdue is in a little bit of a vacuum in between personnel. It's going to be an issue this year. I think they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to, some guys might have to move around a little bit. We'll see where Jalen Graham winds up in terms of what position he's actually playing, whether he's like a true linebacker or whether he's sort of a half linebacker, half safety, sort of a nickel kind of player. I don't know. Some defensive ends could conceivably be standing up at times if Purdue is going to do this 3-4 thing more often. I'm only speculating there, but Purdue is probably going to have to get a little bit creative to just simply have the numbers they're going to need if they're going to have four linebackers on the field quite often, or four linebacker-type players, and there is a difference. But Purdue has to replenish its ranks there because it's pretty thin right now. And the other part of it, obviously, is just what I've been talking about for the last 5 minutes and 30 seconds now. It's that Purdue, you know, is transitioning to wanting the ability to do more out of a 3-4 front. That does require a little bit of nuance from a personnel perspective. As I've always put it, a good football player is a good football player no matter what scheme he's part of. But there is a little bit of nuance that you would prefer from a 3-4 perspective, as I've always understood it, relative to a 4-3. I think the linebackers are a big part of that as well. In a 4-3, you're asking your middle linebacker, a bird just flew by, distracting me. I'm very distractible. In a 4-3, you want your middle linebacker ideally to be able to cover a lot of space, more so than you would necessarily need them to in a 3-4. Obviously, the outside positions are the ones that you need your pass rush from, but you also need those guys to be able to do a lot of different things. Again, as I said before, you do need a pretty decent level of athlete, ideally, to be able to credibly do a lot of the different things that those guys on the edges have to do. So it's really important here, if Purdue's really committed to this 3-4, which every indication is they are, they get some personnel that's a little bit more compatible to the 3-4, but also some versatility in terms of their ability to operate in both a 3-4 and a 4-3. I think the nose tackle position is going to be one that Purdue is going to need to find somebody at moving forward to make the 3-4 as effective as it can be. You'd ideally love to have that big space-eating physical presence over the center in that 3-4. Again, I don't know what Purdue necessarily is doing structurally. I don't know if they do it any differently than what my preconceived notion of a 3-4 is, but I think ideally you would love to have that big sort of Ted Washington nose tackle. You happen to have him this year, potentially, in Lorenzo Neal, getting him back for a year. I think he's kind of the prototype. He's that guy, that big 320-pound guy with a little bit of quickness to him, a little bit of explosiveness, a lot of ability to occupy blockers, a lot of ability to blow up the middle of an offensive line right off the snap. But you have him for 1 year. And if you're committed to this moving forward, you have to find another guy. And the rub there is that that guy is not easy to find, because that 320-pounder with explosiveness and quickness and power is hard to find, really hard to find. And the ones that are evident to people, Alabama is probably going to be interested in that player. Thus making him relatively difficult for a place like Purdue to get. Purdue obviously got Lorenzo Neal many years ago. I think Lorenzo Neal has become a better player than his recruiting interest at that time had suggested he would be. Replacing him will be difficult. But I think that's one of the personnel angles Purdue kind of needs to look at moving forward now as well. But Tristan Cox obviously is your first indication of Purdue landing personnel with the 3-4 in mind. I think he's also your first indication of what effect that all that's going on right now in terms of everything, the world kind of stopping here for a little while, what impact that's going to have on the recruiting process. Because Tristan Cox admitted yesterday that he did this earlier than he anticipated doing it, because these guys, their spring visits are getting wiped out. There are no spring visits. You can't make any, and that's typically a pretty important part of the process. So I've kind of wondered if there wouldn't be a rash of kind of like to hell with it commitments, where guys are like, look, I can't make any visits. I don't know what's happening in June even at this point. Here are the schools that have been with me from day one. Of those, here's who I've liked the best. Why the hell should I wait? And that's exactly the approach it sounds like Tristan Cox took, where I think Purdue was the leader from the outset here. He couldn't go visit other places to give them opportunities to unseat Purdue as his leader. Things get a little bit murky, where you're not really sure what's going to be on the other end of this, when this is going to end. So really, this was your first indication of a guy saying that nothing's going on right now, so I'm going to pick from what I have. And what I have in this case is pretty good. Now, if a player like Tristan Cox isn't dead set on Purdue, isn't sold on Purdue, I don't think he's just going to pick a school out of a hat to commit. Some guys might do that, which those commitments obviously aren't going to be worth the paper they're not even written on. But in Tristan Cox's case, I think whether it was now, whether it was a couple weeks from now, whether it was a couple months from now, I think Purdue was probably going to wind up being the place, provided nothing crazy happened with these spring visits or nothing crazy happened in terms of this school or that school completely turning his recruitment on its side. We'll never know because he never had a chance to make those visits. There probably won't be any camps in June. Recruiting is on indefinite hold, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if there is a series of commitments like this all over the country, not just at Purdue, where guys understand that the pause button is hit on their recruiting and nobody knows when it's going to get unpressed. And they just go ahead and choose from what they have now. And that is something, as I've said here before, Purdue can stand to benefit from. And it certainly already did yesterday with the commitment from Tristan Cox. So that's what I got. Those are today's thoughts on new Purdue football commitment, Tristan Cox, Purdue's fourth 2021 commitment, as well as football recruiting in general. So this has been your GoldenBlack.com Daily Quarantine simulcast. Once again, brought to you by our sponsors, Fouts, Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, Sixth Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Want to remind you once again, the Sixth Street Dive Restaurant in Lafayette remains open for carryout. Chips and queso would be my recommendation, among other things, as do our longtime friends, Arnie's and Bruno's, as well as the Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette. All of them remain open for carryout business. If you want to support our local business, or again, if you're just looking for damn good food, please keep the Sixth Street Dive, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn in mind. So we'll talk to you again tomorrow. I will be wearing the same shirt because I'm going to do tomorrow's video right now. So don't be freaked out when you see two identical looking videos. I know you wouldn't be, but I just wanted to give you fair warning. Have a good day, everybody.